Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this morning. We thank you because the unfolding of your word gives us light and understanding. We thank you, Lord, for giving us light and understanding of your word, helping us to grow in grace and grow in knowledge. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. We've been talking about growing in Christ. And to be honest with you, our new recording system, I don't know what I've done, but it's not working out for me. So I've actually decided to resort back to my tried and tested method, which is using this device. Amen. It's worked for Minister Les, but it hasn't worked for me. And I don't know why. But I've decided I can't afford to take further risks of not capturing the messages. So I've ditched the new one. I will leave that when Minister Les is doing his series, and I would keep this one for myself. Amen. Because the funny thing is, it's difficult for me to capture him when he's using this. He doesn't seem to like this. But when he uses the other one, I get everything. But when I use the new one, it doesn't work for me. But it's me. I think I'm missing something. I think this one likes me. But then somebody will say that I'm actually blaming the tools and not myself. So it's actually my fault. I just haven't figured it out yet. Amen. So we've been talking about growing, and we've covered a number of scriptures. We've looked at the fact that believers in Christ are made up of both Jew and Gentile Christians. When we look at the New Testament template, I know today Judaism is not what it was back then, and the relationship in the church is not the same, even though, to be honest with you, in some cases you do find some of that dynamic, but it's not as acute as it was in the church between Jewish and Gentile Christians. Okay, the dynamic is not the same, i.e. we're not going through a phase where Jewish Christians are out trying to reach the Gentile world and Gentiles coming to Christ, and then Jewish Christians saying that, oh, they can't be Christians unless they become followers of the law of Moses and practice circumcision. We don't have that problem now. Okay? In fact, we've got a point where for a Jew to become a believer, they have to stop being Jewish. That's a problem we've got now. Because sometimes some Christians will feel, well, if you're now a Christian, then you need to dump your culture. And that's not the message of Christianity. That's how far we've actually reversed the trend. When the New Testament was written, the problem was, okay, now that these Gentiles have become Christians, they must obey the law of Moses and they must be circumcised. That was a problem. And that's why in Acts chapter 15, they had to debate that. They had to say to themselves, when they had the church council, okay, now that these Gentiles have been brought into God's family, what are their obligations? What do they have to do? How do they have to live? How can we coexist as one body without putting a severe burden on them? That's in Acts chapter 15. And that was resolved. Amen? They didn't tell them to practice circumcision. They didn't tell them they had to practice the law of Moses. They didn't tell them to do that. They told them to abstain from idols, sexual immorality, and blood. They kept it simple. And somewhere along the line, through history, the church muddied the waters again. But I'm going to leave that alone, all right? But what we concluded when we read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. Can I have the NLT, please? And go back to 14. It says, "For Christ himself has brought peace to us by uniting Jews and Gentiles into one people, when in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace with Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from the two groups." So you got the two groups, and God made one new people, the new creation people. The people who believe that Christ is the Messiah, the people who have gone through a regeneration in Christ. That's why you and I are brother and sister in Christ. Regardless of whether you're white, English, or whether you're Bulgarian, whether you're Jamaican, Nigerian, regardless, wherever you're from, we're one in Christ because of this. Amen? And for our Jewish brothers and sisters in Christ who believe in the Messiah, we're one with them in Him. And Christ broke that down. And that's why I said, I think in one of the services, is one of the biggest shows of unity is for people to see love in the body of Christ that transcends racial barriers. Amen. Because that's how men would know that we are His disciples indeed, when they see the love that we have for one another. That's what Jesus said. And so when you become a part of this new people, God wants you to grow. That's what we're saying. He wants you to grow in your understanding, grow in your love life, grow in your relationship with Him, and also our relationship with one another. Growth is not just, you know, one dimensional. Oh, I know my Bible, I can quote scripture from Genesis to Revelation. You know, I'm a walking Bible. Nothing wrong with memorizing scripture, it's great. But there's also the relational growth of growing in how you relate to people. Amen. Growing in how you relate to your brother and sister in Christ. Growing if you're a husband or if you're a wife. Growing in terms of how you raise your children. You grow spiritually. You grow in your understanding. The character of Christ gets formed in you as you grow. Growth is not instant. Your freedom is instant. Your freedom in Christ, hey, you're free in Christ. But the growth, your understanding of it will grow. Your understanding of what happened to you happens over time. There is some light you have now that you definitely didn't have a few years back. And there is some light you will have in the next few years as a Christian that you look back and say, oh my gosh, when I was a young Christian, I didn't really get this. But now I fully appreciate and understand what's going on. So our light and our understanding, things become clearer as we grow. You don't get any more righteous before God. But your understanding of His righteousness will grow. And your understanding of who He has made you will grow, which will then affect your behavior. Because the more light you have, the more your attitude changes. One of the things I talked about last week, because we're looking at scriptures, we've looked at 1 Corinthians 3, 1 to 3, where Paul was telling them that they were behaving like babies in Christ, and the fact that there was a lot of quarreling and division among the church in Corinth. And he said, are you not acting like babies? Are you not acting like mere men or people who have not been influenced by salvation or by the new birth? And when you look at what they were doing, they had all these fractions. I'm for Paul. I'm for Apollos. And some people say, I'm for Peter. And some people say, you know what? I'm a follower of Christ. So you had all these splinter groups. No different from us today when people have their favorite evangelist and say, I'm with this guy. And the students who sit under the other guy say, no, I'm with this guy. You know, hey, guess what? The only important person is Christ. And one of the things that we alluded to, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. One of my friends, Pastor Simon Joash, he cracked a joke one day. And it's a joke that makes a lot of sense. We're talking about ministry, men of God, ministers. And he says some people are not men of God, they're God of men. In the sense that what they do is that they intimidate, bully, control people, put people in a lot of bondage. They like to subdue and suppress people. But I just want to show you something. Let's pick it up from verse 3. No, let's go to verse 4, because I mentioned that. It says, when one of you says, I am a follower of Paul, and another says, I follow Apollos, aren't you acting just like people of the world? After all, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We are only God's servants through whom you believe the good news. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. So you can see, from Paul's perspective, we're just servants. I'm just a servant. Should you respect pastors and respect ministers? Yes. Should you honor them? Yes. But not worship them. We're servants. We are what? Servants. So he says, I planted the seed in your hearts and Apollos watered it. But it is God who made it grow. So Paul planted the seed. Apollos came and watered the seed that Paul planted. But when you talk about the growth, is God. And he goes on to say, it is not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What is important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For we are both God's workers, and you are God's field. You are God's building. Amen. So if we get it all in perspective, Paul is saying, don't overestimate us. He said that in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I think in the first couple of verses. He said, don't overestimate men. Don't overesteem them beyond what is reasonable. Okay? But what he's saying is, you know what? Guess what? I planted, Apollos watered, but the most important thing is not the person who planted or who watered, but the God who makes it grow. God who makes it grow. God is the most important person. It's his work. And what he says is, look, we are God's workers. Ministers are God's workers. True ministers of the gospel are God's workers. And guess what? You are God's field. The believers they serve are God's field. So it's a privilege to serve in God's field to take care of his interests. He says what? That you are God's building. So they're workers in God's what? Building. We all help you grow. We teach, we share, we minister the word for your own growth and nourishment. But it's God that brings the growth. It's the Holy Spirit that does his work in your life to help you be who God wants you to be. It's the work of the Spirit. We're just vessels. We're not celebrity superstars. Amen. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. I'm kind of recapping because I know we've kind of got a different shift today. So I'm just kind of making sure everybody's all on the same page. All right. So those of you who heard it in the last shift, please be patient with me because I might say some of the things I've said before, but I might say differently. So it still be of benefit to you. Okay. So don't close off and think, oh, well, but you talked about this scripture last week. Yes, I did. But I want to bring us all together. All right? He says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church. So the job of ministers of the gospel is to equip the saints. Is to equip them to do God's work. He says, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. So you also have a part to play. We equip you to do his work. So you're going to be doing something too. Not just the pastor. We all have a responsibility to share our faith with others. Not just pastor. We all have a responsibility. But part of my responsibility is also to equip you to do so and to help you to do so. Amen? He says, this will continue until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we be mature in the Lord. Can you see? God wants us to what? Be mature. He wants us to grow. He wants us to develop. Amen. So hence the reason why we're talking about growing in Christ. Because God wants us to mature. You shouldn't be a Christian for 20 years and your life is no different from day one. That's like the Americans would say, that ain't right. That ain't right. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be the case. He says, that we may be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. But it's talking about us maturing and growing. You never stop growing. You always grow. Verse 14 is the thing that really hit us last week, wasn't it? He says, then we will no longer be immature like children, because some Christians are immature. They haven't moved. They haven't moved class. They're still in year one. And they haven't moved to year two, year three, year four. They're still in year one. They haven't moved at all. He says, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. Some people are easily swayed by new teaching. A new fad comes in and they're there. They watch their, you know, Christian TV and somebody comes up with some nonsense and quickly, yep, that's the new revelation. They haven't actually filtered it. They haven't checked it. They haven't even thought about whether what they're being taught is right, wrong. They won't know the difference because they're babies in Christ. Anyway, they don't have the tools to know whether they're about to be conned or whether what they're hearing is the truth. Because nobody has given them the tools, but they've been Christians for so long that they don't even know how to read their Bible, study it. They have no clue. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. Some translations will say every wind of doctrine. New doctrine comes up and you sign up for it. Amen. New doctrine comes in and you sign up for it. And then when it doesn't work, I remember once, some lady signed up to this dude, and I was a young Christian. Well, I wasn't that much of a young Christian per se, but I was still a young Christian and a young person. And I didn't sign up for what the guy was selling. Even some of the pastors that I respected signed up for what he was selling, but I didn't sign up for that. I felt it was nonsense, even though I was a youngster. Because I felt, if I look at the scripture and look at what this guy is selling, that ain't right. Not right. So we're walking with this girl at the time. We're talking and she said, I'm not going to church anymore because this guy's a deceiver. The reason why you're not going to church anymore is because, yes, the guy is a deceiver, but the truth is you're a baby. Because you couldn't see, you were not taught to spot out the fact that what this guy was selling was rubbish. I remember another time I was in a meeting with my pastor and I learned a lesson. I was in this meeting, there were so many people in the meeting, and this prophet came in from the States and he was prophesying, throwing out prophecies left, right and center. And everybody was like, wow. And you, in those environments, usually, I'll be honest with you, I used to think, Lord, when are you going to talk to me? The guy gave me two prophecies in the midst of in the meeting. I don't even know what he was talking about. But anyway, the thing is, I was in that meeting. I wanted to be prophesied to, because come on, everybody's getting all this new direction for their life and God is sending them all these good things. I also want something good to be said to me. And he did say something good, but it wasn't true. But anyway, he was saying it and people were flocking to these meetings like bees to honey. Then on one of the days, I sat at the back with my pastor and we're sitting together and he was watching the proceedings from afar off. People were going forward to bring an offering to give to the prophet. And when they put the offering in the bucket, then he would then prophesy. And one of my friends that I knew in Bible college together, he prophesied on him. And he was able to spot his name from the prophecy. And I was like, wow. My pastor sits down with me and he said, this is rubbish. He said, this guy's deceiving the people. He's exploiting the people. And I was like, yeah, what are you talking about? He said, no. He said, this is wrong. They're exploiting them for money. He said, this is wrong. My pastor's a nobody in the scheme of things. This guy's a heavyweight from America. He had a big resume. You know, back in the day, we didn't have Facebook and all this stuff that you have. But you have the flyers. And the flyer has the resume of the preacher. And my pastor told me, this is rubbish. But many people didn't see that it was rubbish. And I didn't see it was rubbish at the time. But on reflection later, I realized my pastor really helped me to learn and to be able to discern truth from error. And I thank God for his openness that day. It saved me a lot of heartache. told me this guy is a false prophet. But most people in the room couldn't spot it, and it was a big hall. You know, loads of people going forward for their prophecy, putting money and receiving the word. And I was like, wow. You see, at that time when I was a young Christian, I was being tossed and blown away by every new teaching, by every new experience. But thank God for someone who shared the word with me that got me out of trouble. Amen. He says, we will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. And that's the thing about lies. They're cleverly packaged. They sound like the truth, but they're not. And sadly, because it pulls on our emotion, there's a lot of psychology behind it. You can easily be swayed and think it's the truth. Do you get what I'm saying? There's a lot of psychology employed to get you sucked in. You being taught properly, you being grounded properly, will protect you from things like that. Okay? Because you will go to places. Come on, friends will invite you out. I'm not one of those who say that, you know, you cannot go to another person's meeting or your friends invite you out. You will go to places and you could easily get sucked in if you're not grounded. What helped me was the fact that my pastor at the time, Pastor Mike Adwesi, then the now we call him Bishop, he helped me out. He saw I was getting sucked in and said, no, this guy is wrong. And guess what? Years later, even I've never had this conversation with him, when Google came into play and I Googled this very guy and I checked out what he was up to, selling soap and selling all kinds of stuff, I realized, you know what, I really dodged a bullet. But that's only because somebody told me. I wasn't afraid to be seen as a nutcase for saying that the guy handing out prophecies that were seemingly accurate was a fraud. Amen. Do you get what I'm saying? Now, I said all this to say that if you've been a Christian for so long that you're easily swayed by every new fad, then you need to ask yourself some questions. What am I being taught in my local church? What are they actually teaching me? I've been a Christian for 5, 6 years and I have no grounding whatsoever, and I can easily get played by different people, and every single thing unsettles me, every new revelation unsettles me, I have no foundation. What's your church teaching you? What have you been taught all your Christian life? What have they taught you that you have no stability in your walk? Because if you, after some time, I'm not talking about the early stages of your walk. The early stages of your walk, yes, you're a young Christian. So certain things can happen. Because you're a baby in Christ, you will make mistakes. You will go to different meetings. You might even go to some wrong meetings. I did. But after a while, you need to get to a point where you're secure in your relationship with God, that you don't have people playing around with your emotions and pressing your buttons. And the worst time for deception is when you are vulnerable. When you're vulnerable, you're easily sucked in. Everything looks like an option. Are you with me? So it is important that we grow. And I know that as a minister of the gospel, pastors have a big responsibility to help people get grounded, to be able to discern the lie and the truth. Anyone who runs from meeting to meeting, today it's this blessing and tomorrow it's a mountaintop and the next day it's valley low. Anybody who runs around from pillar to post chasing the new prophet in town, always running from prophet to prophet to prophet, that's a sign of a baby. That's a sign of immaturity. I was talking to a relative and he said that somebody was going through a particular experience that was actually very bad. And what they said to the person was the person should actually buy a plane ticket and travel all the way to Nigeria to a particular ground for prayer. His analysis was, are you a Christian? That's a question he was asking the person. If you're a Christian, does God hear you anywhere? Yeah. Do you need a particular ground for God to hear you? No. So what's the logic in thinking that until you actually spend a few bob to go to Nigeria and back, that's the only way God will hear you when you pray? Not true. So not true. It's not true. It's a sign of immaturity or a sign of desperation. Because God will hear you anyway. Amen. There is nothing special about anybody's building. There is nothing special about anybody's ground. When we did the first session, I know we didn't capture the recording properly, but when we looked at Paul in Athens, he had the opportunity to share the gospel. In Acts chapter 17, when you look at Acts chapter 17, he said, God does not dwell in temples made with hands. God doesn't live there. Are you with me? God doesn't live in a temple made with hands. Nothing wrong with a church building, but it's just bricks and mortar. The only thing that makes it special is the people in it. So the saints who are redeemed, who are filled with the Holy Spirit is in the building because the saints are in the building. The moment the saints leave the building, the Holy Spirit leaves with the saints. He doesn't linger around the walls. It's not the Old Testament temple. It's not the Old Testament Holy of Holies. So we don't need to worship the building. And you don't need to fly out anywhere for a miracle. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm just showing you that these are signs that a person is immature. When I was growing up as a Christian, there was a lot of that going on. Oh, this prophet is in town. Are you going to the meeting? Wow, wonderful, miracles, this and that, signs and wonders, deliverance. Like I said, last year when I was doing some stuff on spiritual warfare, deliverance, or some of the teaching, oh, you need a deliverance for being single. There's this prophet in town. If you've been single for a long time, you come to this meeting and he will deliver you from singleness. Is it really as simplistic as that? Then some lady who probably, you know, she's now hit 30s and she feels maybe desperate will be vulnerable to that kind of teaching if she's not grounded. Because you're exploiting something somebody really needs. We need to have birthing prayers for singles to birth their husbands. Even when you hear stuff like that and you sit down and actually think about it, it doesn't make any sense. Then when nothing happens, then they blame God, not realizing that they're being conned. But the only reason why you're being tossed strong and fro by various doctrines is simply because you haven't been taught right. Some people even end up marrying the wrong person through those experiences. Out of their desperation, they now meet this guy or this woman and they want that person to be the person they've been praying for. And when that person says yes, they say yes. They don't even take time to actually analyze what they're getting themselves involved in, but they want it just to be an answer to prayer. It's important who you listen to, what you're being taught, and you should also take the time to go back and go check to see whether what you're being taught is true. It's important for your own spiritual growth and enrichment. You need to do that. Amen? Amen. You're with me? That's a recap within a recap. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Okay, it's Peter. He says, so get rid of all evil behavior, be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment. Do you have a hunger, a craving to grow as a Christian? Are you all with me? Do you have a what? Hunger or a craving to grow as a Christian? Some people, the hunger is there when you're very young. You're new to this and like, wow, I want it. Then you kind of settle into this and then it's like, okay, yeah. And we've all had periods where we've kind of like just chilled, where the hunger is no longer there, where the desire is not as intense as it used to be because of life experiences and changes and things that we go through. But we've got to resurrect that craving. To grow, you must want to. God works in your heart to make you want to, but you must yield to that desire and pursue Him. Can I look at the Amplified on that one? He says, So put aside every trace of malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander and hateful speech. Like newborn babies, you should long for the pure milk of the word. You should long for the pure milk of the word so that by it you may be nurtured and grow in respect to salvation, its ultimate fulfillment. For you to grow, you've got to desire the word. You've got to desire the milk of the word. You've got to desire to grow. You've got to want to grow. You've got to want to grow. Can you all see that growth is important? Can you all see that? Because if you don't develop and mature as a Christian, it will affect your walk. And for some people, there will be no difference between you and somebody who has not come in contact with Christ. I'm not saying that your struggles will instantly end once you want to grow. The thing with God, it's amazing. There might be things in my life that I've kind of forgotten, and I get to some point in my walk with Him, it's okay, now it's time for us to address this issue. Come on over. Now, this ain't right. Now, let's start to confront certain things. God walks with us as we pursue Him through the Holy Spirit. He works on our hearts. Everybody's journey is different. Nobody is the same. The journey of each individual is different. But one thing is that ultimately He wants us to grow in grace, grow in knowledge, grow in our understanding of Him. But we must also crave the Word. Amen. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 18. He says, but grow spiritually, mature, in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory. Let's look at the NLT, please. And let's backtrack to 17. You already know these things, dear friends, so be on your guard then. You will not be carried away by the errors of these wicked people. He was talking about people who more or less... Okay, let me backtrack and I'll end on that. And then we'll continue next week. But backtrack to verse 16. Actually, let's pick it from 15. Peter's writing to these people and he's concluding his letter. All right? Peter? Yeah? Look at what he says. He says, but remember our Lord's patience gives people time to be saved. So he's talking about God giving people time to repent, to be saved. He says, this is what our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom God gave him. He's talking about Paul. Okay? Speaking of these things in all his letters, some of his comments are hard to understand. So he's talking about Paul. He's giving credence to Paul and saying some of the things that Paul wrote were hard for people to what? Grasp, to understand. And those who are ignorant, and unstable, people who are emotionally unstable, mentally unstable. Oh yes, you do have some people like that in the pulpit. You might think it's a lie, but it's the truth. And we all go through stuff, don't get me wrong. But these people in particular, if you look at that, they're ignorant and unstable, have twisted his letters to mean something quite different. Oh, you think it's only today that people have been twisting stuff? They were twisting it back then. And they took Paul's letters and they twisted it to mean something different. He said, just as they do with other parts of Scripture. So he's talking about Paul's letter and he's talking about Scripture, the Old Testament canon, that they twist those things. He says, and this will result in their destruction. So there are people that twist stuff. And let me be honest, there are people who purposely twist stuff, okay? There's some who are ignorant and they don't really know. They're just parroting what somebody else has taught them. But there's some people who actually twist things. He says, you already know these things, dear friends, so be on your guard. Then you will not be carried away by the errors of these wicked people and lose your own secure footing. So he's saying the people he's writing to won't be carried away by their error. Can you imagine a rock concert, if I may say, and people jump into the crowd, and then as they move that body around, I don't know what they call it, there's a technical word for it, but they carry them through the crowd, and that crowd surfing, is it? And they surf them through the crowd. So imagine yourself being crowd surfed with somebody's error just because you were not paying attention. So he's saying that you will not be carried away by the error of these wicked people and lose your own secure footing. Verse 18, rather, You must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All glory to Him, both now and forever. People, God wants you to grow. My question is, are you hungry? You've got to answer that. Amen. Not just you, all of us. I'm teasing you. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the privilege of hearing your word. We thank you, Lord, because we have the Holy Spirit in us, working in us. Lord, we really want to grow. We cry out for insight, knowledge of what you have done for us in Christ Jesus. In fact, your word says, we've not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from you, that we might know those things that are freely given to us. Lord, I pray that you open up the eyes of our understanding for us to understand the depth of the salvation that you have provided for us in Christ Jesus, so that we can live a life worthy of who we are in Christ. In Jesus' name. And the saints say, Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. If this message has been a blessing to you, please drop us a line. Let us know what God's word has done in your life. Most important of all, pass it on. Share it with someone else. God bless you. Thank you for listening.